Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We come before you, Father, with bowed hearts, thanking and praising your name, Father. We ask that you would bless us with more of your Holy Spirit, that you would touch our lives, Father, that you would cause each one of us, as we approach before you, to be humbled, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed against you. And we ask, Father, that you would bless us, that you would take your servants and raise us up, Father, in joy before your throne of grace. As we give glory to you, Father, we thank you for the blessings from on high. We ask that your will be done in our lives. And we ask, Father, that each one of us would give glory to you and be humbled at this time as we seek to do your will. Open our hearts and minds and receive the implanted words that you prepared for us this day. And we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated. Is the Holy Spirit evident in your life? That's the title of this message. Is the Holy Spirit evident in your life? Almighty Yahweh has given us an example, his son, Yahshua the Messiah, who had the Holy Spirit evident in his life. We're going to start over in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. We're going to start in verse 34. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. The word which he sent to the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Yahshua the Messiah, he is sovereign of all." That saying you yourselves know, which is published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, even Yahshua of Nazareth, how Yahweh anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Yahweh was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom also they killed, hanging him on a tree. Him Yahweh raised up the third day and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but to witnesses that were chosen before Yahweh, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach to the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of Yahweh to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name everyone that believes on him shall receive remission of sin. So we see that not only is the name of Yahshua important, that the people would receive the remission of sins, but also the Holy Spirit, which comes through baptism in the name of Yahshua. Now, verse 44, it says, "While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all them that heard the word." This had never happened before. Okay? The Holy Spirit fell on them before they were baptized. And they of the circumcision, the Jews that believed, were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because they came down with Peter from Joppa to see this centurion and his family that Peter was being sent to preach to. It says, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Yahweh. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid the water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Then they prayed him to stay certain days. So we see that the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles that heard the word preached by Peter. Now, one of the things you have to understand is that the Holy Spirit is around you even before you receive that gift at baptism. When you're being called, that Holy Spirit is around you. It's being used by Almighty Yahweh to draw you to him. Okay? Because Cornelius had an angel come to him and tell him, there's someone over in Joppa I need you to call. And he called for Peter. He sent his servants to get Peter so he can come preach the word to him. And you see what the results was. The results was they received the Holy Spirit. Now, is the Holy Spirit evident in your life? That's the question I have for you today, because if Yahweh is calling you, his Spirit is around you. It's pulling you to him. See? You're gravitating to Yahweh for a reason. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Verse 30. We'll read verses 30 to 32. Acts 5:30. The Elohim of our fathers raised up Yahshua, whom you killed, hanging him on a tree. Him did Yahweh exalt with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sin. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, which Yahweh has given to them that obey him. So the people who are obedient to Almighty Yahweh receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See? You have to be obedient. You have to be following his commandments. You have to be doing those things. Now, we can read the commandments, which most of us know. I mean, there's 613 of them, but the major 10, the 10 commandments. First, Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other Elohim before me. Yahweh is our mighty one. That's the one we worship. He's the one that the Holy Spirit will bring us to, because Yahweh is calling you. See? He's calling you to himself through the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 61. We're talking about Yahshua. Isaiah 61. We'll read verses 1 to 3. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Yahweh is upon me. He's saying he has the Holy Spirit upon him, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And Yahshua fulfilled this, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give to them a garland for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. Almighty Yahweh blessed Yahshua that he was glorified through his Holy Spirit. It was evident in Yahshua's life that he had Yahweh's Holy Spirit. He was not ruffled when they attacked him. It says when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't get on the defense. He wasn't ready to fight back. He fought with the word of Yahweh. When they attacked him, whether it was the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, didn't matter. Scribes, whoever came at him, who was being used by Satan the devil, how did he respond? He responded in love. He responded in the word of Yahweh. Because the Holy Spirit was evident in his life. Now, what about each one of us? How do we respond when Satan attacks? Too often we kind of give in and go carnal. We're ready to fight physically. We're ready to argue. But that's not what the Holy Spirit does. See, we don't argue about the words. For the simple fact that it's pretty plain. You show it to someone, they accept it, or they don't. That's it. That's how simple it is. See? Now, is the power of the Holy Spirit evident in your life? Is Almighty Yahweh using you through His Spirit to build His assembly? This is the purpose for the Holy Spirit. It's to teach you and bring to remembrance these things that Yahshua said. It's the spirit of remembrance. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. It says, the former treaties I made, O Theophilus. That means lover of Yahweh. It's Greek, but it means lover of Yahweh. Concerning all that Yahshua began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was received up, after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them by the space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And that promise was the Holy Spirit, which he said, you heard from me, for John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit after not many days. And truly, that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. Continuing on in verse 6, it says, they therefore, when they had come together, asked him, saying, Rabbi, do you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And I told you before, this is what most of the Israelis were looking for. They were looking for a reigning king. They were looking for the Messiah to come and relieve them from the oppression of the Romans, to relieve them of the oppression of the devil. Okay? And that's what he did, though. He came and relieved from the oppression of the devil. He didn't come to relieve them from the oppression of the Romans, see? Because he wasn't coming as the reigning king. Yahshua ben Dawid, the son of David. He came as Yahshua ben Yosef, the son of Joseph. And he came as a suffering servant. Isaiah 53 is so prominent. And this is a scripture that's there that it seems that most of the Jews will not accept. Okay? Now we're going to look over there in a few minutes, actually right after this. But it says here, but you in verse 8. Now verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has set within his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the farthest parts of the earth. That includes us today. You think about it. How far are we from Jerusalem? Quite a way. Actually, I think it's about 6-7 hours by plane. time zones. Now, what you have to understand is that this says to the farthest part of the earth. So this is going throughout the whole earth. It's not limited. And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, who also said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Yahshua who was received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven." He's going to come back the same way he went up. Now, we know that Yahshua the Messiah came and fulfilled Scripture. But again, like I said, you have people looking for this Yahshua, the reigning king, which he is going to come this time as the reigning king. But in Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, "Who has believed our message?" I have this chapter entitled "The Servant of Yahweh." "And who, and to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." He wasn't a movie star. He was a carpenter. He was a man that, as it says here, that there was no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised. Despised. Now, think of that. He was despised. He wasn't well-liked. He wasn't a very popular, sanguine personality. He wasn't like the movie stars who are loved. He wasn't like the Kennedys or the royal family of England. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we esteemed him not. You see, he wasn't cared for. Verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, struck of Elohim, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression." He fulfilled Zechariah 12:10. He was stuck with the spear. He was wounded for our sin. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Remember, he was beat. And he was beat. He was bloodied. He shed every drop of his blood for our sins, brother. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We've all gone our own direction, our own way. But Yahshua took that beating. He took that death for each and every one of us, because we deserve that death. We're the sinners that deserve death. It's only because of him that we don't die for our sin. See, the blood of bulls and goats didn't get it. People got calloused. Because, you know what, it's just like in the Catholic Church, the priests tell you, you did this sin, go do so many Hail Marys and, you know, whatever, and you're cool. You're absolved. And people just, they became hardened of heart because they knew that all I had to do, if I did this sin, I could just go offer this lamb, or I can go offer this bullock. You understand? If you're a wealthy man, you got plenty of bullocks. You know, the world is your oyster. You can do whatever you want. Because all you got to do is offer. You understand what I'm saying? They became hardened because of the ritual. Whereas though when Yahshua was impaled, Yahweh gave his only begotten son. He gave his only son for our sin. And that should take us, it should make us very serious about our faith and make us very serious about the Holy Spirit. And that's why I ask this question, is the Holy Spirit evident in your life? When people see you, do they want to give praise to Yahweh? Do they want to know what the hope is that's within you? Do they want to know why you are different than the rest of the people of the world? Verse 7 of Isaiah 53. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? It was due to each and every one of those people and each and every one of us. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. They found no deceit in Yahshua. He told the truth. Verse 10, yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of the soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge of himself, shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquity. He's bearing our sins, brethren. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Yahshua showed us that the Holy Spirit was evident in his life. When we look back on his ministry and the ones that followed him, we see that it was very evident that the Holy Spirit was in his life. Romans chapter 16. We're going to look at a few others that had the Holy Spirit evident in their life. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 5. It says, salute Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in the Messiah Yahshua, who for my life laid down their own necks, to whom I not only give thanks, but also all the assemblies of the Gentile, and salute the assembly that is in their house. Salute Epentus, my beloved, who is the first fruits of Asia, to the Messiah. Now, Priscilla and Aquila, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Priscilla and Aquila had an assembly in their house. They had a group that met at their house. And Paul is lifting them up. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, he says, the assemblies of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla, salute you much in Yahweh, with the assembly that is in their house. All the brethren salute you. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. in verse 1. We'll start in verse 1. It says, after these things he departed from Athens. And that's just the capital city of Greece. And came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a man of Pontus by race, lately come from Italy, because he was in Rome with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he lived with them, and they worked, but by their trade they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded Jews and Greeks. Well, even the Greeks were going to the synagogue to learn of Yahweh. If you were a proselyte, that's what you did. You came over to where the Jews worshiped, in the synagogue, and that's where you got your instruction. See? So Paul was teaching along with Aquila and Priscilla. Now drop down to verse 24. Verse 24 of Acts 18, it says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by race. Alexandria was a city in Egypt. It was a very, very prominent city. They had a great library there, okay? But he was a Jew from Alexandria, it says by race, an eloquent man. He came to Ephesus. And you know, Timothy was the bishop at Ephesus. Paul had ordained Timothy, and he was over Ephesus. And Ephesus was the home of Diana. Diana is another name for Astarte, or Easter. It was the many-breasted mighty one that they worshipped because she was the queen of fertility. They worshipped her because in the spring, that's where you got your chickens and your bunny rabbits, the ones that are prolific at reproducing, and they wanted a blessing. So in Acts 19, it talks about that because a lot of the Jews that were making some of these idols of Diana were in opposition to the faith because that's how they got their wealth. They got their money that way. So they were against Paul. They were against those that were preaching against Diana, even though Diana was idolatry. See? It was all about that. It was about money to them. They didn't care that the people were in false doctrine. They just cared that they made the money. And we'll look at that later. But it says here in 24, actually we're down in 25, it says, this man had been instructed in the way of Yahweh, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Yahshua, knowing only the baptism of John. See? And John was the precursor of Yahshua. He was the forerunner. As we're going to be the forerunners, as we are the forerunners of Yahshua, okay? The Eliyah message. My mighty one is Yahweh. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him to them and expounded to him the way of Yahweh more accurately. See, they gave him more knowledge because it wasn't that he didn't know. He just only knew to a point. His knowledge was limited. And this is what has to happen. When you come across someone that has a limited knowledge of Yahweh, you want to bring them the rest of the way. And this is what Priscilla and Aquila did. See? In verse 27, and when he was minded to pass over to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to receive him. And when he had come, he helped them much that had believed through grace, for he powerfully discussed with the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Yahshua was the Messiah. And I have right next to that Isaiah 53, which I just read. See, because he was expounding to them the scriptures. They didn't have cell phones, so they had to give him a letter to take with them to the Jews over in Achaia. So when he went over, it's just like Paul but he went to grab those who were of the truth and to bound them. He had letters from the high priest giving him authority to do so. See, but we have our authority from a much higher authority. We have it from Yahweh, who has given us his Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm asking you, is the Holy Spirit evident in your life today, brethren? It was evident in the life of Priscilla and Aquila, who had the assembly in their house, and what they were doing, as you see, they expounded the word more accurately to Apollos. Now, turn over with me to Isaiah 63. Isaiah chapter 63. We'll start in verse 7. I will make mention of the loving kindnesses of Yahweh and the praises of Yahweh according to all that Yahweh has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses, his hesed. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not deal falsely. So he was their savior. This is speaking of Yahweh. He is their savior. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. He's talking about ancient Israel, how he bore them. Verse 10, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the middle of them, that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses? Talking about that pillar of cloud and fire, because that was Yahshua, see? And that was the Holy Spirit that was among them, that divided the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the depths as a horse in the wilderness, so they stumbled not. As the cattle that go down into the valley, the Spirit of Yahweh caused them to rest. So did you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of your holiness and of your glory, where is your zeal and your mighty acts? The yearning of your heart and your compassions are restrained toward me, for you are our Father, though Abraham knows us not. And Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Yahweh, are our Father. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. O Yahweh, why did you make us to err from your ways and harden our heart from your fear? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of your inheritance. Your holy people possessed it, but a little while our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. Why would Yahweh allow the sanctuary to be trodden, except he was removing his spirit? He was removing Israel and casting them into captivity. See, he's not going to allow you to sin against him once you have his Holy Spirit. You're going to lose that spirit that he's giving you. Sin cannot exist where the Holy Spirit of Yahweh dwells. Is the Holy Spirit evident in your life, brother? If it's not, that means that go over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, Psalm of David. It says, have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Is that an excuse? No. Doesn't matter. See? David knew that he had sinned with Bathsheba. And this is why he wrote Psalm 51. He didn't want Yahweh to take his Holy Spirit from him. He says in verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. David didn't want that Holy Spirit to go. But guess what? The Holy Spirit cannot exist where sin is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says in verse 18, well, let's start a little earlier. Verse 15, it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of the Messiah? Shall I then take away the members of the Messiah and make them members of a harlot? By no means. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he that is joined to Yahweh is one spirit. See, because you're joined to Yahweh, you have his spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from Yahweh, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify Yahweh, therefore, in your body. And that price is the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. It was his blood that cleansed us from all sin, that has given us the Holy Spirit, the opportunity to be a part of Yahweh's kingdom. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we'll start in verse 1. And Saul was consenting to his death. And this is Stephen that they stoned. See, remember, Saul was one of the Pharisees, and he was one of those that were imprisoning and putting to death those who were followers of Yahshua. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the assembly, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul laid waste the assembly, entering into every house, and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. They that were scattered abroad went about preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Messiah. And the multitudes gave heed with one accord to the things that were spoken by Philip. When they heard and they saw the signs which he did, from many of those that had unclean spirits, they came out crying with loud voice. And many that were palsied and were lame were healed. and there was much joy in that city. But there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery and amazed the people of Samaria. Samaria was the capital of the 10 northern tribes in Israel. And this is very interesting because, see, the Israelites had gone into captivity. They no longer lived in those cities. The people who lived in those cities had been transported there by the Assyrians. They had taken them from the cities of the Medes and the right on the river. That's where the Jews were placed after they went into Babylonian captivity. But the Assyrians now, they were used as a rod of Yahweh's anger. When Israel was in idolatry, Yahweh sent the Assyrians who repented at the preaching of Jonah. Okay? And then they went and did Yahweh's will, but they got a little greedy. Yahweh dealt with them for that. Because they tried to get Judah as well. And he didn't tell them they could have Judah. So he ended up killing them. But what we have to understand is that Yahweh, now here Simon is here in Samaria, and he's considered someone great because he used magic. Okay? We know where magic is from. It's from the devil. Okay? Now, listen to this. It says, Simon had amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of Elohim, which is called great. And they gave heed to him because that of a long time he amazed them with his sorceries. But we're told in the scriptures that we don't deal with sorcery, or any of that. And the word it tells us not to deal with it. But when they believed Philip, this deacon, he was preaching. He was on fire with the Holy Spirit. It was evident in Philip's life, just like it was evident in Stephen's life, that they had the Holy Spirit. And they believed Philip's preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of Yahweh and the name of Yahshua the Messiah. They were baptized, both men and women. And Simon also himself believed. This is Simon, a sorcerer. He believed. And being baptized, he continued with Philip, beholding signs and great miracles worked. He was amazed. You see the turnaround? He had amazed the people. Now he was amazed because he saw what the Holy Spirit was doing to the people there in Samaria by the preaching of Philip. Verse 14, now when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Yahweh, they sent to them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. See, the baptizing of the deacons, they didn't have the authority to give the Holy Spirit. They could baptize, but the Holy Spirit came through the elders. And the elders came down, okay? See here? It says, Peter and John, they came that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet it had fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the sovereign Yahshua. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you have thought to obtain the gift of Yahweh with money. All he had to do was be patient. He had been baptized. He was going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what happened? His true nature came through. He wanted that power himself so that he could do it. You understand? And it's not like Yahweh would not have allowed him to become an elder and have that power. he was trying to rush things, see? He wasn't patient. Even though he had converted from his sorcery to the truth. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you have thought to obtain the gift of Yahweh with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before Yahweh. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray Yahweh if perhaps the thought of your heart shall be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray you for me to Yahweh, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. And they therefore, when they had testified and spoken the word of Yahweh, returned to Jerusalem and preached the good tidings to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of Yahweh spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, to the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the same is desert. Now, every way from Jerusalem goes down, because you got to go up to Jerusalem. But this is down towards Gaza, down towards the coast. And he was obviously on his way back to Ethiopia. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except someone guide me? And he supplicated Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth, and his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. His generation, who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or of some other? Now, you have to understand, this is a eunuch. He also was Ethiopian, and he had been at the temple. You understand that there were a lot of Ethiopian Jews from the days of Solomon, Queen of Sheba. Now, he had come from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. He couldn't go beyond the court of the Gentiles. One, because he was a Gentile, according to them. And two, he was a eunuch. You had to be circumcised. And he was a eunuch. So when you look at this and you see, now he was faithful. And Yahweh saw this. Just like the centurion was faithful and sent for Peter, and Yahweh made it happen. What Yahweh is showing us is that this word is going forth to the Gentiles with power and authority. And it's going to continue until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And then, again, you'll see some of the Jewish people who have rejected Yahshua come back to the fold. In verse 34 it says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture preached to him Yahshua. And as they went on the way, there came to certain water. And the eunuch said, behold, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Yahshua, the Messiah, is the Son of Yahweh. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of Yahweh caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more. A lot of people say he was caught up to heaven. See? The scripture doesn't bring that out, doesn't bear it out. Just like they talked about the chariot in the past and Enoch being caught away. No man has gone into heaven except him who came down, Yahshua the Messiah. He says, the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. And he was rejoicing because he had received the baptism. But Philip was found in Azotus. You see here, it tells you where Philip was. He was caught away, but he was found in Azotus. He didn't go to heaven. And passing through, he preached the good tidings to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What we have to understand, brethren, is this. Is the Holy Spirit evident in your life? It was evident in the life of Philip. It was evident in the life of Stephen and Peter and Yahshua the Messiah and Paul. After Paul had his experience on the Damascus Road, he had to be turned around. He had to be whipped into shape, like a lot of us have to be whipped into shape. But Almighty Yahweh is calling today. He's looking for people who are willing to use that Holy Spirit for his honor and glory. Not like Simon, who wanted the gift for his own purposes. Stephen and Philip were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was very evident in their lives. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the assembly of the Thessalonians and Yahweh the Father and the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to Yahweh always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, before our ailing Father, knowing, brethren, beloved of Yahweh, your election or selection, how that our good tidings came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance, even as you know what manner of men we showed ourselves toward you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Master, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you has sounded forth the word of Yahweh, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith toward Elohim has gone forth, even here in Lebanon, even in Upper Marlboro, even in Baltimore and Fayetteville and all the other cities that the word of Yahweh is coming to. But in every place your faith toward Elohim has gone forth, so that we need not speak anything, for they themselves report concerning us what manner of entering in we had to you, and how you turned to Yahweh from idols, to serve a living and true Elohim, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Yahshua, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And that's what happens when we accept the Holy Spirit and allow it to be evident in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll start over there in verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we entreat and exhort you in the Master Yahshua that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please Elohim, even as you do walk, that you abound more and more. For this is the will of Yahweh, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not Yahweh, that no man transgress and wrong his brother in the matter. Because Yahweh is an avenger in all these things, as also we previously warned you and testified. For Yahweh called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. He set us apart, brethren, for a holy purpose. That's how he sanctifies us. Therefore, he that rejects, rejects not man, but Elohim, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. But concerning the love of the brethren, you have no need that one write to you, for you yourselves are taught by Yahweh to love one another. For indeed you do it toward all the brethren that are in Macedonia. But we exhort you, brethren, that you abound more and more, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands, even as we charged you, that you may walk becomingly toward them that are outside and may have need of nothing. See, Almighty Yahweh has blessed each and every one of us with a blessing. One of the things that all the Jews had to have was a skill. They studied the word, but they had to have a skill, because they had to have something to fall back on to make a living. Paul was a tent maker. Okay? Messiah was a carpenter. Every one of them, whether they were stonemasons, whether they were bricklayers or whatever, had something they could do to earn a living. See? Because they were not. And yes, they still could depend on the word to pay them. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 9 about the finance. Just like he talked about how the Gentiles gave so that they could preach to the Jewish people. They sent gifts back to Jerusalem when there was a famine. Is the Holy Spirit evident in your life, brothers? Because if it is, you're going to do these things that are necessary to show Yahweh that you love him. See, you're going to work to be able to take care of the things you have need of and to be able to have something to give as well. You're also going to walk before Almighty Yahweh in sanctification. You're going to be set apart for a holy purpose. You're not going to be doing things that are carnal, things that are taking you away from the body. See? Even those who are Gentiles that have come to Yahweh did what? They walked away from it. They changed their way of life. They changed their way of life. Romans chapter 15. We're going to close there. Romans chapter 15. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Is Paul talking about those who are physically strong here? No, he's talking about spiritual. See? He's talking about those who are strong in the word of Yahweh. Let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good to edify. For the Messiah also did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach you fell upon me. Now whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. Now the Elohim of patience. And of comfort grant you to be of the same mind one with another, according to the Messiah Yahshua, that you may with one accord and with one mouth glorify the Elohim and Father of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore receive one another, even as the Messiah also received you. To the glory of Yahweh, for I say that the Messiah has been made a minister of the circumcision for the truth of Yahweh, that he might confirm the promises given to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify Yahweh for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will give you praise among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Now it says the Messiah is what? Among the circumcision? The circumcision is the Jew. The uncircumcision is the Gentile. In verse 10, and again he says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people, and again praise Yahweh, all you Gentiles, and let all the people praise him. And again Isaiah said, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he that arises to rule over the Gentiles. On him shall all the Gentiles hope, shall the Gentiles hope. Talking about Yahshua the Messiah. Now the Elohim of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may increase in hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is given to each and every one of us that has committed our lives to Almighty Yahweh, because we've chosen Yahshua, the Lamb of Yahweh. And as we've chosen Yahshua, we've been baptized and we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, it says, and I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also able also to admonish one another. But I write the more boldly to you in some measure, as putting you again in remembrance, which is what the Holy Spirit does, because of the grace that was given me of Yahweh, that I should be a minister of the Messiah, Yahshua, to the Gentiles, ministering the good tidings of Yahweh, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be made acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, why wasn't Paul, who was a Pharisee, sent back to the Jews? Let's think about that. Paul knew the Torah inside and out. He knew it as well as the scribes. They know every yod, the smallest Hebrew letter, and every tittle, every decoration that's in the Torah. Yet, they had a different understanding of the Messiah. See, if you're programmed to believe certain things, when you see it, that's what you believe. Now, one of the things that they do when they see the Tetragrammaton, the Yod, Hey, Wav, Hey, the four letters in the text of Yahweh's name, they're taught. You don't pronounce it Yahweh. You pronounce it Aleph Daleth, Adonai. You understand? They've been programmed to believe that. Yet, when they see it, it's just like me telling you again the sky is purple. And then one day you find out that the sky is actually blue. You said, man, he lied to me. He told me it was purple. So I've been calling that purple, and it's blue. But the name is Yahweh. It's not Adonai. You understand? So we have to teach the whole counsel of Yahweh. And the Holy Spirit is what brings it to the forefront in your mind. When you accept Yahshua the Messiah and receive that baptism, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and that power that comes along with it. Not only change your life, but you're going to change the lives of the people around you. Continuing in verse 17, Romans 15, it says, I have therefore my glorying in the Messiah Yahshua in things pertaining to Elohim. For I will not dare to speak of anything save those which the Messiah performed through me for the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed and the power of signs and wonders and the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and all around, even to Illyricum, I have fully preached the good tidings of the Messiah, yes, making it my aim so to preach the good tidings, not where the Messiah was already named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, they shall see to whom no tiding of him came, and they who have not heard shall understand. And that's the reason, because they had already preached Yahshua in Judea and Jerusalem and all around the other apostles. Paul was sent to the Gentiles because that was virgin territory. He was going where the Messiah had not been preached, him, Barnabas. He went to Ephesus with Timothy and set him up. Crete to Titus. Corinthians. He went to Rome. Verse 22, therefore I was also hindered these many times from coming to you. He's talking to the brethren at Rome. But now, having no more any place in these regions, and having these many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way there by you, if first in some measure I shall have been satisfied with your company. But now I say to you, I go to Jerusalem ministering to the saints, for it has been the good pleasure of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contributions for the poor among the saints that are at Jerusalem. And Paul was going to Jerusalem to, you know, to see the brethren there. Yes, and it has been their good measure, and their debtors they are, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, they owe it to them also to minister to them their carnal things. When therefore I have accompanied this and have sealed it to them this fruit, I will go on by you to Spain, and I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the Messiah. And along with that goes the Holy Spirit. See, Paul truly was seeking to serve Yahweh. And he had Yahweh's Holy Spirit very evident in his life. He took a lot for this ministry. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. They tried to kill him, stone him, but he got up and kept moving. You understand? Yahweh blessed him, and the Holy Spirit is evident, very evident in his life as well as Stephen, Philip, the Messiah. Is the Holy Spirit evident in your life? That's the question I have for you today. See, because if you're doing Yahweh's will and the things that he's commanded you to do, that Holy Spirit is not only going to be evident in your life, you're going to see the fruit manifested. You'll see the people come. You'll see Yahweh place people in your path that you can witness to and show them of that hope that is within you. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you continue to show the Holy Spirit being evident in your life. I'll ask Brother Davis if he would come and close with a word of prayer right now. Would you all please rise at this time?
Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for another time, another day, another moment because of your word. Praise and thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would seal this word in us so that it can bring forth fruit unto thy glory. We ask that you would allow us to respond in love and with the word. We ask that you would allow your spirit to be evident in our lives so that we can bring forth fruit unto thy glory. Strengthen us to take on the mind and walk of Yahshua, so that we are able to abide in your perfect will. We ask that you would quicken your Holy Spirit within us and give us wisdom for our words and actions, that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, we ask that you take not your Holy Spirit away from us. We ask that you give us the spirit of truth, because many of us are walking in dark clouds concerning the things going on in our lives. And only by the truth can we come forward and be people of your election and purpose. We ask that you would give us wisdom to know that we don't belong to ourselves, but we were bought with a price, and that price was the blood of the Lamb. We ask that you would keep we, your children, in the labor of love and patience of hope, and allow us to continue to allow you to possess us in all ways and all things. And we ask that you would strengthen us to study to be quiet, because a lot of times we're talking when your Holy Spirit is trying to direct and lead and show us some things. We ask that you would allow us to have a skill to make a living, and we ask that you would favor that skill and quicken it so that those who are looking to purchase or even come to us for certain things, we're able to provide them. We ask that you would allow each of us to come in the fullness and the blessings of the Messiah, and continue to allow us to be instruments of thy will and thy purpose. We ask that you would restore virtue to Elder Davis and Sister Davis, strengthen them, guide them, and keep them, and pour more wisdom upon them in all ways and all things. We ask this in your son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
Our closing song, if you take your songbooks in hand, we'll be singing number 32, More Love and More Power.